Hey guys, how are you? Okay, so today we're going to take a look at a fascinating duality in Chazal in the Gemara Mem Gimel on the base. Part of what we hear in general in Yeshiva, and in particular this shiur, because we're learning Menachos, is to try to take the raw data of Halacha, the lamdos, the analytics, and bridge it between our minds and our hearts. So we should internalize Torah and get down to deeper existential layers of what these mitzvahs signify and represent us. And that's true whether you're learning Bava Kamma or you're learning Menachos. Obviously, it's easier to bridge when you're learning a Gemara about Tcheles and Tzitzis to your identity, to your experience, than it is when you're reading about a Shosh Lenegei Chasapara. You just have to be a little bit more abstract. What are the concepts behind Shosh Lenegei Chasapara? What does it tell us about Hashem's Ratzon? How should I react knowing more of Hashem's Ratzon? Now, amongst all the mitzvahs, Tzitzis sounds like it has the greatest potential for internalization and association with other experiences of Avodas Hashem, because the Torah telegraphs them. So the trigger capacity of tzitzis seems to be augmented. Conceivably, every mitzvah. You wear tefillin, what does that do to you? What are you thinking when you're wearing tefillin? How does that affect your overall religious consciousness? You're eating matzah. So obviously, some mitzvahs have more symbolic potential. Something about tzitzis has the ability to create associative effect. So last week we took a look at tcheles and how the coloration affects it and what tcheles is meant to symbolize. Today let's take a look at two different positions in the Gemara in Menachos. And of course they're complementary, they're not exclusive. Tana Rabbanan. It's on your source, it's Mem Gimel Amud Beis. If you have a Gemara, you can look it in the page. Orisemasa uzechartem. Line number 2, source 1. Re'ei mitzvah zu, zechar mitzvah achas. So here's the association. You wear tzitzis? It's a portal. It's a leaping position, right? It's a, what did I say in English? It's a, like the kesher kfitzah, I forgot the launching pad, to some other mitzvah. So what would you think of next? What would be the first association intuitively? Tzitzis? Play, you know, the association game. I say tzitzis, you say?
Mitzvah.
Right, mitzvah. But what mitzvah does it lead you to? Good, Yonah. So the Gemara has two positions. Ezel zu, Krishma. Why would tzitzis lead to Krishma? Keep in mind, of course, we say tzitzis during Krishma.
You've been, you see, you can say Krishma and you can see.
Exactly. I see the blue of tzitzis. Remember, for people who wear tcheles. And what else in my life do I have to look at blue to determine how light it is outside to say Krishma? Again, it's hard to understand that Gemara because it doesn't take a lot of light to distinguish between blue and white. It's hard to know what type of tcheles it was, but the Gemara says in Brachos you can start to say Krishma when there's enough light to distinguish between tcheles and lavan. So when I look at the tcheles of my tzitzis, it jogs my memory, my association leads me back to when else did I look at tcheles in my own experience? Krishma. So I leap from tzitzis to Krishma to think about the overlap and the interaction and the cross-pollination between tzitzis and Krishma, and that starts association. Try to think about this. This is, of course, I talked about this morning in the Poshachrish here, the essence of creativity. There are many different ways to be creative as a thinker and in Torah, but the essence of creativity, the core of creativity, is association. You take two ideas, you associate them, you compare them, you contrast them, where they're different, where they're the same. There are many derivatives of creativity. There's a group of scientists in the University of Indiana that has been working on trying to define creativity about 30 years because they're working on the AI team to try to endow computers with creativity. So before they want to endow computers with creativity, they have to define what creativity is. Again, and Richard Hofstadter, they've determined that creativity is essentially fluid analogy. So if I'm going to say, what's I see here? I think Boston, I think the Red Sox, and I think Red, then I think Charlie, then I think Charlie Rose. All of a sudden, I go from Uriah to, I don't know, Charlie, Pete Rose, because his name was Charlie. How do I get from one to the other? Boom, 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 and I create associations. So, of course, the broader your experience, the more associations you can create. That's why to be creative, you have to have a breadth of experience, because if you have a limited amount of items in your set, you can't make that many associations and creativity. So here, tzitzis is meant to lead us to religious creativity, and the first thing you think about, here's a good word, is experiential. Experientially, what mitzvah do I associate tzitzis with? Then there's another position. Tana Idach, line number 3. So what's your immediate association? What do you mean? I don't think about my experience. I open up Parsha Kitetze, metaphorically. I look at the mitzvah of tzitzis. What mitzvah appears right next to the mitzvah of tzitzis? Shanis. So think about the next mitzvah. in the Torah, and then the next mitzvah in the Torah, and then the next mitzvah in the Torah. So here you have a contrast, which is a complement, two ways that people should process life and process religion. On the one hand, it should all stream through Torah. There's nothing you need in this world but a sefer Torah. Because the world is built on Torah. So if you just look at me, I'm just giving a visual. If I just disappeared into a Torah, I'm basically entering a universe that's larger than the actual universe because Torah is infinite and this universe is bounded. So in theory, I don't need anything. I just need a book. I just need a Torah. So why should I stream experience through anything but Torah? Because otherwise it's a false streaming. Right? Why should anything be the streaming mechanism other than Torah? So what should be my first go-to association? Where does the mitzvah of tzitzit disappear? Oh, it's a parsha ki tzitzit. What's next in the Torah? Shatnez, kilayim. And then I just work my way through a sefer Torah, mitzvah by mitzvah, pasuk by pasuk. But we're not computers. We're human beings, and we also have experiences. And we want to wed our religion to our experiences. So I also want to think about tzitzit not just as an abstract pasuk in the Torah and an abstract halacha category. I want to think about tzitzit based on the coloration, how does it affect me, where else in my life, religious and broader, and I'll talk about this in a moment, do I encounter tchelas? And you have to learn how to build those two modalities in your head. Some people, it's only about Torah. And there's no ability to wed it to experience. We'll talk about this in a moment, about clothing versus Kriya Shema. Where else do you feel tchelas? It's obviously an easier juxtaposition between tzitzis and shatnez because they appear next to one another in the Torah. They're both beged-oriented. But it's more creative to take tzitzis and create that association with, well, what do I do in the morning when I wake up, when it's dark outside, I'm first being makabel malchus shamayim. On the other hand, some people are very agile and adept at creating these experiential associations, but these connections and internal associations by, as lumbus is, right? Lumbus isn't necessarily creating associations in your experience, it's creating associations within the network of Hashem's logic. Right? When Rav, remember, we all learned the Gemara before, I quoted this Gemara on Shabbos when I was giving a shiur in America to show people the power of lumbus. Rava, when he wanted to explain the differential between direct damage and indirect damage, what did he choose as his yardstick? Remember the Gemara in Bava Kama Yizayinim and Beis? What was the halachic yardstick within the system to help gauge what's direct, what's indirect? Zav. Who would have thought that Zav and Nezek are associated? There's no experiential association, an animal and a Zav, but there's halachic association. If you're trying to measure level of directness, and level of directness is important as to how a Zav can convey Tumah, and level of directness is important as to whether you pay Nezek Shalom or Chatzi Nezek. So Rava says, Kol Shebezav Tameh B'Nezek Meshalim Nezek Shalim. Kol Shebezav Tar B'Nezek Chatzi Nezek Tzoros. So you have these two different prisms through which, or lenses, through which you process religion and you try to wed. Okay, I'm a walking Sefer Torah. What else can I associate this with? What else did I learn? Reb Lichtenstein's power, it's hard to explain this properly. And I hope I'm saying it the right way. The Rav, you felt that Rabbi Soloveitchik was this supernova of creativity, like this fountain of ideas. It's just pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. Things just, you know where they came from. Rav Lichtenstein's creativity, to me, always resembled looking down at this huge box of puzzle pieces with hundreds of millions of pieces, but knowing every single piece and knowing how to build that puzzle in thousands of different ways. So he would look down and say, well, let me take a concept in Rav Chaim and Hilchos Tefillin, and a concept in Masechet Sfachim, and they're built on the same structure and create these really, really unnatural associations between areas that would seem to be different, like Rava did, Zav and Nezek Shalim. Felt like Rav Lichtenstein was just in such command of Shas, it was like pulling out puzzle pieces that could be inverted and reversed. So he was creative internally to Torah, and then of course, if you stretch it to your experiences, then it creates creativity as to whom you are as a person. So that's one difference between these two. A second difference between these two statements is not what you use as your lens, but how you frame religion. The association between tzitzis and Kriya Shema is all ritual-based. You're moving from tzitzis to another ritual. You're seeing in tzitzis a ritual of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. And what's the next association, the next mitzvah on the stack, the next mitzvah that it leads you to? Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, standing in Saint Krishna. Little Rav Shimon Bar Yochai action here, source number two, Erev Lag BaOmer. This is how we celebrate Lag BaOmer. We learn Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Torah. Source number two, Rashbi Omer. Kol Hazariz b'mitzvah zu, zelcha o'mekabel p'nei Hashchina. Dechsev uri semoson, v'ksev ha'asem es Hashem lokecha tira oso tavod, probably a play on words between Re'iyah and Yirah, not for now. What's the relationship between Re'iyah Hashem and Yirah Hashem? The association between tzitzis and sha'anis is not from ritual to ritual, although sha'anis in theory is halacha. It's from beged to beged. It's clothing. Clothing is the basis of your identity, whom you are, experienced, not just containing and compartmentalizing religion to moments of study and moments of tefillah, but the clothes you wear. You basically wear clothing all day. So the beged is a metaphor for stretching avodas Hashem outside of these very, very limited, compacted zones of activity, of mitzvah performance. Can you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as often as possible? Can you be mekayem Shavuos Hashem l'negdi Samach? Doesn't mean you learn Torah all day. Shavuos Hashem l'negdi Samach means there are times that Hashem's presence is more deeply felt, and times that His presence is less overt and palpable, but you still feel He's in the room. How you talk, how you behave, how you eat, how you just, that sense that Bona Shalom is with you in every moment. When you're wearing clothing, metaphorically, not just when you're saying Kriya Shema for that limited 5-minute period. And that's the second contrast between the association between tzitzis and Kriya Shema, as opposed to the association between tzitzis and sha'anis. It's a beautiful medrash. Take a look at the continuation of source number 2. It's quoted by the Gemara, so it's not really a medrash. Tana Rabbanan. Chaviv in Yisrael, line number 3, Shesivivana Kodesh Baruch Hu b'mitzvos. Hashem encircled us with mitzvos. Tefillin, your arms, your head. Tzitzis b'vigdehem, tzitzis on your clothing. Mezuzah lefitcheyem. So here there's a roster of mitzvos that are experiential rather than ritually contracted to certain moments. Remember, in the days of Chazal, they wore tefillin all day. So for us, tefillin is a compacted mitzvah. For them, tefillin was just their mode of dress. It was equivalent to tzitzis, more or less, not in Kedusha, but certainly in being mekayim the mitzvah through passive performance. These are two mitzvahs. You don't have to do anything. You just, tzitzis is the remnant, but tefillin is the real mitzvah to enclose yourself in a sefer Torah. And mitzvah is just that passive mitzvah on your doorpost. And to accentuate that, the Gemara, having nothing to do with today's share, but just to show the power of passive mitzvahs that are low level rather than specific sporadic activities, the Gemara tells the story of David HaMelech, who goes to the bathhouse and removes his tefillin and walks away from his mezuzah and removes his tzitzis and starts to get a little bit depressed that now he's mitzvahless. And then he looks at his milah and he says, because he's in the bathhouse, and he says, well, there's still a mitzvah that will accompany me wherever I go. Sasa nochi l'masecha, kimotzei shal rav. That's the continuation of his brisa. So milah is the ultimate mitzvah that can't be divested. Milah is the ultimate built-in, branded mitzvah. But tzitzis belongs to that category. And that's the antithesis of Kriya Shema, where Kriya Shema is this mitzvah that you're performing reverentially, as opposed to a mitzvah that you're just living, maybe with less tonality and less pitch, but more tensility. It just stretches itself across the breadth of your life. To fully appreciate this, let's read a medrash, a beautiful medrash where you see that tzitzis is, so to speak, the antithesis of mitzvos, ironically. It's the antithesis. Let's see this sifri. Source number 3. You should be kadosh. How are you kadosh to Hashem? So the first sheet in the sifri is Zu kedushas kala mitzvos. Means you're mekayim kedusha by performing mitzvos. Ata omra zu kedushas kala mitzvos o eina ela kedusha tzitzis. Maybe it's not kedusha of mitzvos, it's kedusha of tzitzis. You see the contrast between kedushas mitzvos and kedusha tzitzis. So the first line it says, no, I have a raya. Since this is in Bisem Kedoshim, so it's in Parshas Kedoshim, it's referring to that long list of mitzvos in Kedoshim. Rebbe argues, Rebbe Omer, no, Kedoshim to you, zu kedushas tzitzis, not kedushas kol mitzvos. Ata Omer, zu kedushas tzitzis, oino kedushas kol mitzvos. So his answer is, Kedoshim to you, that refers to kedushas kol mitzvos. Bisem Kedoshim, that refers to kedushas tzitzis. Whether you pass in one way or the other, you see the Gemara clearly appreciating this offset between Kedushas mitzvos, lulav, time-limited, matzah, time-limited, Talmud Torah, experientially limited, tefillah, experientially limited. We can box and compartmentalize our avodas Hashem, as opposed to tzitzis, again, as a metaphor, not just when you're wearing tzitzis, how am I in Oved Hashem when I'm not engaged in direct ritual or direct tefillah, which is really the takeaway from the Sihun Yeshiva. How can you bring a Rosh Hashanah? You're not going to be in the base manager your whole life, but Shavuos Hashem L'Negdi Samach applies just as powerfully, and Avodas Hashem applies just as powerfully. And if, of course, you can connect the dots, that's why tzitzis really is the We'll talk about this maybe next week. Tzitzis is really the frontier. You can claim halachically, I don't have the word tzitzis, but do you want to buy in or buy out? You want to try to evade or you want to try to buy in? Are you looking to avoid responsibility? You're looking to carry tzitzis with you. And that's why some people wear their tzitzis out. My minhag is not to wear their tzitzis out. We'll talk a little bit about this next time. But you're starting to see that offset in the Gemara. Does tzitzis lead to Kriyas Shema or does tzitzis lead associatively to Shanis? One difference is the lens by which you stream this process. Is it a book or is it your experience? And the answer is both. Second of all, how do you view the sweep of Avodas Hashem? And you have to have a little bit of both. I think in some cases, in our world, in the world of Torah Ve'avoda, or Torah Omada, or Torah and Derech Eretz, however you complete that sentence, there's an effort to integrate your entire world and stretch Torah into that other sphere. When you're working Avoda, so whatever Avoda is, or Omada, or Derech Eretz, whatever that other sphere is, you want to connect them. But the price you pay is the flattening effect. Well then, is there a difference between Torah and Avoda? Is there a difference between Torah and Omada? Is there a difference between Torah and life? The answer is, of course there is. Torah is a topography and has to be mountains as well as valleys. And there's a difference between when you're standing and learning Torah and davening and when you're at work being an Oved Hashem. You want to breathe Torah into everything, but you have to maintain the altitude and the differences. So our challenge is, we're great at integration, but the price we pay for integration is hollowness and flattening, and everything becomes pancaked. Those who are very, very attendant to ritual and Torah, their challenge is to create the integration rather than compartmentalization. It's easy to just create a world in which everything takes place in the Beis Medrash. Why does he leave the Beis Medrash? Do you have answers and meaning to it? But their altitudes are very high because they're always on top of a mountain. So our challenge is to maintain the mountain effect while we're stretching and while we're extending Avodas Hashem to the clothing, so to speak, of our begat. Okay, so we'll stop here. Just trying to give you a little sense of what's happening behind the scenes. These drashos, these halachos, they should speak to you. Tzitzit should speak to you in ways that maybe the laws of Tzraros or Eish also speak to you, but it takes a lot more abstraction to find the connection between Eish and your experience. Unless you're a paramedic. Okay, guys. We'll meet Thursday, Mr. Shem. We're going to have this twice a week again, very brief, very short. We want to finish Tzitzit in 2-3 weeks. I'm working on a June 15th deadline, so I want to save some time for Tzitzit, some time for Tefillin, so we'll meet twice a week for 20 minutes.